Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Ashtotara Shata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Ashtotara Shata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam ki, Dai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru Vanshi Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Any of you have a key? Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 12, The Mohini Murti Incarnation Bewilders Lord Shiva, Text 1 through 4. So, Text 1 and 2. I read the Sanskrit translation and then we read four together. Sri Badarajanir Ubacha Brishadwaju Nishamedyam Josi. Is that what it is there? Oh, that's the one that is there. Okay, great. Sorry about that. So I'm going to read three or four. Okay, so Sri Badarajanir Ubacha Brishadvasho Nishamedyam Josit Rupena Danavam Mohajitva Suraganam Harisoman Apajajat Brishadvajo Nishamedyam Medam Josit Rupena Danavam Mohajitva Shuraganam Harisoman Apajajat Brishadvajo Nishamedam Josit Rupena Danavam Mohajitva Shuraganam Harisoman Apajayat. Please chant. Text number 2. Brishan aruhya girisha sharvabhuta ganairvrita sahadevya jajau drashtum jatraste madushudana Sri Badarajani uvacha Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Vrishadvajaha, Lord Shiva, who is carried by a bull, Nishamya, hearing idam, this news, Yasit Rupena, by assuming the form of a woman, Danavan, the demons, Mohajitva, enchanting Suraganam unto the demigod, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Somam, nectar, Apayayat, caused to drink, Brisham, the bull, Aruhya, mountain, Girisha, Lord Shiva, Sarva, all, Bhutaganai, by the ghost, Britaha, surrounded, Sahadevya, with Uma, Yayao, when, Drastum, to see, Yatra, where, Aste, stays, Madhusudanaha, Lord Vishnu. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who is carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudan, the Lord, resides, accompanied by his wife Uma and surrounded by his companions, the ghost. Lord Shiva went to see the Lord's form as a woman. Text number 3.
Sabhajito Bhagavata Sadaran Somaya Bhava Supavishta Uvashedam Pratipujasmajam Harim.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect, and after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Text number 4.
Sri Mahadeva Uvacha Deva Deva Jagat Vyapim Jagat Isha Jagan Maya Sarveshan Api Bhagav Bhavanam Tvan Atma Hetur Ishwara.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Mahadev said, O chief demigod amongst the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, Master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the super soul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwar, the supreme controller of all controllers. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, resides within the material world as Sattva Guna Avatar. Lord Shiva is Tama Guna Avatar, and Lord Brahma is Raja Guna Avatar. But although Lord Vishnu is amongst them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Deva Deva, the chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat Vyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshwar, and some people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here, Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagadisha, the master of the universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Vishveshara, but he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jaganmaya, indicating that even Vishveshara is under Lord Vishnu's control. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Sujate Sacharacharam. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara, but the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu. Lord Krishna, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Adantarasta Paramano Chayantarastam. Even Paramanu, the small atoms, work because Lord Vishnu is present within them. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Uttale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Diti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Bancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So this is the beginning of a new chapter of Lord Shiva becoming bewildered by the form of Mohini Murti of the Lord. Now, this is a pastime in which very graphically is described how even the greatest personality in the universe, Lord Shiva, can become bewildered by this powerful potency of the Lord, by the external manifestation of attraction that the Lord basically manifests in the full potency in the form of Mohini Murti. So, although the bewilderment of Lord Shiva is glorified, and is glorified here in the Bhagavatam, because Lord Shiva can only be an illusion by the full display of the Lord's potency. And it's a display of internal potency, but nevertheless, it describes the glories of Lord Shiva. However, the past in itself is very sovereign for, you know, all of us conditioned souls. And not only conditioned souls, but also to great rishis. It is explained at the end of the pastimes that even great rishis, they got the message of this display of the bewilderment of Lord Shiva. Because the message is just be aware of the potency of the desire to enjoy the material form or the material energy. And the greatest manifestation of that attraction to enjoy Natya energy is sexual desire. That is, so then this pastime becomes a very graphic description of what can happen, because the bewilderment of Lord Shiva, which is this powerful personality that is described, that is, he there's no way of getting him distracted or agitated. In the scriptures it's described that even Parvati Devi goes to some extremes to try to agitate him, and he doesn't get agitated, Lord Shiva. So but that personality, this pastime is it gets very graphic in terms of Lord Shiva completely losing it with the manifestation of Mohini Murti. And it's described, we're gonna hear the descriptions of the displays, the attractive display of Mohini Murti playing with a ball and, you know, dancing, and then Lord Shiva completely losing it. That even with his wife next to him, he just lost it. He just go after. And to the point that he discharges semen in the pursuit of Mohini Murti. And we hear the description, but the message is very clear, that we have to be very guard against this powerful force that basically takes the living entity, the conditioned souls, deeper and deeper and deeper into a whole entanglement of material conceptions. Specifically being fully focused on I am the body. And this is something that in the teachings of the Bhagavatam is highlighted. And Prabhupada often quotes the teachings of Rishabdev to his sons, and there's a famous verse, I just found it here. Yeah, there's a famous verse in the fifth canto, in the teachings of Rishabdev, that Prabhupada quotes very often, that specifically deals with what is the meaning, what is this attraction, this between male and female, and what is it does to the living entity. So King Rishabdev is instructing his sons, and there's a famous instructions of the importance of celibacy and austerities for progressing in the spiritual life. And in the context he says, Punsan Striya Mituni Bhavan Etan. Prabhupada quotes this a lot in his teachings. The meaning is, the translation is, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of these misconceptions, which ties together the heart of the male and female, one becomes attracted to this body, home, property, children, relative, and wealth. In this way, one increases life illusion and things in terms of I am, I and mine. So the basis of this ahamkara, or this false ego, is sexual attraction. That's what cements one in this idea that I am the body and this is mine for enjoyment. The whole false identification that we first receive, that's the most subtle form of material, the material condition, the false ego, it cements itself with this attraction between male and female. So it's a very sobering message that is going to be refrained in this pastime. So we can be prepared for that. So that's one important point of what we the chapter that we're starting. And the verse of today, I thought that it has some very interesting points. It's the general thing. It's the understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of the position of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, what is it? Ete chamsa kalapunsa Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the origin. Sorry. And everything emanates from him. He's the supreme controller, and that's his position. And all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they recognize this and they address it. So in this case, Lord Shiva speaks, you know, worships the Lord, acknowledging his position. And Deva Deva, this is the name of the Lord. Deva Deva, we hear that too. Deva Deva Jagatpati. The Lord is the chief of all the demigods. He's the top, and he is the controller of the whole universe. And so, Lord Shiva addresses the Lord like this. However, we see just some chapters ago in which Lord Shiva was addressing with very similar terms that Lord Shiva is addressing Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu. And for impersonalists, they see this and they see that, and they come to a conclusion, well, they're all supreme. You know, sometimes Lord Vishnu says, oh, Lord Shiva is supreme. Like in the case of Lord Ram, it's a very famous quote that Shivaites and impersonalists, they say that, you know, Lord Ram accepted Lord Shiva as his worshipable Lord. Lord Shiva is known as Rameshwaram, Rameshwaram, right? So he is the Ishwara of Lord Ram. So, and Lord Shiva sometimes worship Lord Vishnu, and like that. So they say, well, their rationale is that they're all supreme. So sometimes this one does like this, someone does like this, and the reason is that they're all recognizing the supreme Lord or the absolute truth within this personality, meaning that you're God and I'm God. So when it comes to address you, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you say, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, like that, they both address like this. In fact, that's the greeting of impersonalists. I think they say something like, what is it? I can't remember the Sanskrit, but something that I am or something like that. Tat tuam asi. That absolute truth, you know, that I am, you know, like that. You know, that I'm that, you know. So tat tuam asi, and the other one say, instead of saying Dandavats Prabhu, they say I am that, you are that, you know, some, you know, that type of thing. So the impersonal is rationalized like that. So everything is God. You're God, they're God, you know, they just recognize, and they're in a position in which they are functioning in the position of controllers. They have that full manifestation of their godness. We have it, which is the purpose of, you know, this life is to uncover all those things that are blocking the manifestation of our Godhead, of being God, like that. So that is the rational, which is very, very foolish. I mean, Prabhupada completely smashes the whole thing. It's a nice conversation in which the disciple Srila Prabhupada plays, you know, the devil's advocate or the impersonalist advocate, you know. And Prabhupada just, like, you know, even gets feisty, you know, and but smashes it, you know. So it's, you know, why are you suffering? And then the devotee say, it's my lila. And Prabhupada, what kind of lila is that? So your lila is to suffer. So why you have to suffer? Why you have to do all these things? So that's your pastime. So who with a sane mind will try to learn something by going through putting themselves in some, you know, pathetic suffering, you know, anyway, something like that. So, but the fact is that this is a very ingrained conception within Hinduism. Very, very ingrained. And I find an article that His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj wrote that is a series of exchanges that he had with these big time Hindu societies, from, you know, some from some universities and things like that, that they took issue when Jayadvaita Maharaj wrote an article in the BTG explaining the difference between God and the demigods. And they took great issue on that. They say, this is, you know, what, this is go against, you know, the Hinduism and our belief and this and that. So I'm going to read it because it's fascinating. I'm going to read the whole article and then we end the class like that. I think is, I cannot say it better than His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj is the best when it comes to, you know, putting arguments and completely dismantling, you know, the illusion of, you know, materialistic people. So, Hinduism, God and Gods. This was 2006 by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami. While I was editor of Back to Godhead, we published a series of articles called The Glories of the Demigods. The article praised the demigods as great servants of Lord Krishna. Not everyone was pleased. The Federation of Hindu Associations objected. So did the president of Cambridge University Hindu Society. Here's what they wrote along with my replies. Maharaj Ki Jai. From the Federation of Hindu Association, they write, "The Federation of Hindu Association, Inc. takes a strong exception to the article and subsequent rejoinders in the Back to Godhead magazine, May-June 1995, which in effect states that Shiva, Ganesh, Brahma, Rama, and other deities can at best be considered as demigods and a little higher than human beings. Statements of this type are extremely offensive and confusing to devout Hindus and are destructive to the Hindu interest. Branding the worshippers of such deities as offenders is not fair to the compassionate and diversified philosophy of Hinduism. With interpretation suiting them to themselves from obscure Puranas, since thousands of years, schools of Vaishnavism, Krishna, Shaivism, and Shaktism, Durga, are unfortunately conflicting on this question. The attitudes rigged of fundamentalism violate the very spirit of Hinduism and create the possibility of another offshoot from the modern religion. By following such interpretations, they are creating exclusive territories of influence and business around one deity by eliminating or reducing the significance of others. FHA, the Federation Hindu Association, considers that in Hinduism, all deities represent the different forms, attributes, qualities, powers, or shaktis of the same Almighty. A partial attachment to any of them and not surrendering to all of the other remaining does not complete surrender to all the qualities and components of the definition of God. Surrender to any deity is surrender to one of his attributes. Hence, all of them are worshipped at one time or another to complete the puja, worship of the Supreme. So nobody should knock down, degrade, or insult any of the god or goddesses by creating classes or grades around these multi-faces of the same God. FHA proposes that, for the benefit of Hinduism, we should stop this discussion and treatment of superiority and inferiority. FHA appeals to ISKCON to continue the good work initiated by Swami Prabhupada. FHA notes that even after the identification of this controversy by Radharaman Temple, Placentia, California, the statements of ISKCON are still confusing and hurting to the cause of Hinduism. FHA appeals to ISKCON to make a clear statement that there is no superior or inferior among Krishna, Shiva, and Durga, and retract the objectionable statement and declare themselves belonging to the Hindu family and way of life, respecting everyone. FHA appeals to all temples, associations, and activists to join and work together in the best interests of Hinduism to benefit this commonwealth belief and protect it from any damage. Please remember, confinement is not Hinduism. Hindus, please save Hinduism. Blah, blah, blah. Sincerely, the gentleman who wrote this. Reply to the Federation. Dear Mr. Singh, thank you for sending us your resolution. I am grateful to you for expressing to us your concern. You have appealed to us to continue the good work initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for that request. We consider it your blessing. You have also appealed to us to make a clear statement, and so we shall. Here it is. We reaffirm Krishna alone is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appears in unlimited Vishnu forms such as Narayan and Rama. All other gods and living beings are his servants. Now, let me respond in some detail to the points you have raised in your resolution. We honor the Devas. Yes, we have referred to Lord Shiva, Sri Ganesh, and Lord Brahma as demigods, but not Lord Sri Ram. We consistently distinguish between the forms of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, and the Devas, the exalted servants of the Supreme Lord. According to the authoritative scriptures, Lord Rama is another form of Vishnu. He is identical with Krishna, the Supreme Lord himself. And the deities, such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Sri Ganesh, are his servants. Yes, we refer to those exalted servants as demigods. This is the English rendering of the Sanskrit word deva. And it means that they are partial manifestations of God. Yes, we say they are subordinate to God and are his servants. Far from being insults, these are terms of high praise. According to the Rig Veda 1:22:20, to be subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the glorious qualification of the gods. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Surajaha. As conditioned souls, we are subordinate, rebellious against the Lord, as conditioned souls, we are insubordinate, rebellious against the Lord, whereas the Devas always humbly consider themselves subordinate and always look towards his lotus feet. We therefore honor the Devas for being exalted devotees. We do not call them ugly or bogus, dismiss them as seducers, or consider them merely a little higher than human beings. Who are the offenders? In a sheet attached to your resolution, you have enclosed a page from Back to Godhead, in which you circle some passages to which you object. There we find the context in which we use the word bogus. We said that anyone who claimed to be God, but whose claim has no basis in scripture, is simply bogus. Do we still stand by that? Absolutely. An impostor who claims to be God is not God, but a dog. Such an impostor is just the opposite of the Devas, gods. He is an asura, demon. Are the Devas a little higher than human beings? No, we never say that. They're vastly higher, but they are still subordinate to Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. You are unhappy that we publish a statement describing the worshiper of the Devas as offenders, but that word wasn't ours. It appeared in a direct quotation from the Padma Purana, one of the 18 principal Puranas, and highly obscure. The specific Sanskrit word is Pashandi. We have given the translation offender. According to the Monier Williams Sanskrit English Dictionary, alternatives are heretic, hypocrite, impostor, or anyone who falsely assumes the characteristics of an orthodox Hindu. That's not our fault. That's what the scriptural quotation says. We simply repeat it. What does the Gita say? Anyway, For the moment, let us leave the Puranas aside. In the Hare Krishna movement, our main source of teaching is Bhagavad Gita. This is our primary source of authority. The main scripture we follow, how about you? Do you members of your association accept the words of the Bhagavad Gita? Assume they must. Then, what do you make out of this statement? Bhagavad Gita 9:23. Jepyanya devata bhakta jayante sradayan vinta te pimam eva kaunteya jayanti abhadi purvakam. Here Lord Krishna clearly says that those who are devotees of other gods, anya devata, and who worship them with faith, sraddha, sadhyambita, are actually worshipping only him, man eva, but they are doing it in a wrong way, avidhi purvakam. The Bhagavad Gita says it is wrong. Why should we say it is right? Elsewhere in the Gita 7:20, Lord Krishna says that because of materialistic desires, kamai, those who surrender to other gods, anya devata, are bereft of intelligence, hitta jana. The intelligent, Lord Krishna says, 7:19, surrender to him, mam prapadyante, knowing that he, Lord Krishna, who appeared as the son of Vasudev, is everything. He is the complete whole, the absolute truth, of whom all other living entities, living beings are a part. Therefore, by worshipping Krishna, one automatically worships all other deities. Just as by watering the root of a tree, one waters all the leaf branches, or by putting food in the stomach, one feeds the entire body. We can water every leaf of the tree, offer food to every cells of the body, but when we put the water on the root or put the food in the stomach, the entire tree or the entire body is satisfied. To whom should we surrender? As you say in your resolution, surrender to any deity is surrender to one of his God's attributes. True. But surrender to the Supreme Lord himself is surrender to the source of all deities and all attributes. You speak of the need to surrender to all the gods, but the Vedic scripture tells us that there are 330 million gods. So how will it be possible? We can even think of all these gods, those gods, but to speak of surrender to them. Therefore, we have to follow the method given in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. God himself surrender to Krishna. In that way, our surrender will be complete. God is a complete reservoir of all qualities, powers, and attributes. And yes, they are represented by various gods. Therefore, some people are attracted to one god, some to another. But as you say, a partial attachment to any of them and not surrender to all of the others remaining does not complete surrender of all the qualities and components. But because Krishna is the origin and the refuge of all these gods, one obtains perfection of surrender to all in one stroke, simply by surrender to him alone. More from the Gita. Whatever one might get by worshipping any other god is in fact bestowed by Krishna himself. Majay eva bihi tam hi tam. Gita 7:22. Why then should we refuse to surrender exclusively to Lord Sri Krishna? The benefit one gets from other gods are temporary, antabhat, and therefore Lord Krishna says in the Gita 7:23, that those who worship such gods are alpamedasa, meager in intelligence. The devotees of such gods attain the abodes of those gods, which are all temporary and subject to distress. Dukalayam asashvatam, Gita 8:15. The devotees of Krishna, on the other hand, obtain the abode of Krishna himself, Janti man api, where they enjoy immortal bliss and knowledge. Again, these are not our statements. They are the statements of the Bhagavad Gita. We simply accept them. What else were we supposed to do? The mother religion and the father. You castigate us for violating the spirit of Hinduism. But without Bhagavad Gita, what is the meaning of Hinduism? The ideas which you are objecting come directly from the Gita. So why are you objecting? You accuse us of deviating from the mother religion, but the mother religion is not Hinduism. The mother religion for all living beings is Sanatan Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma, devotion to Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 14:4, Lord Krishna says that He is the Father of all living beings, Aham Bija Pradapita. He is even the Father of the Devas, Aham Adir Hideva Tam, Gita 10:2. The mother religion, therefore, is the worship of the Supreme Father, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. The Vedic scriptures, in fact, may be compared to our mother, and the Supreme Lord to our Father. If we are in doubt about who our Father is, you should best consult our mother. And according to the conclusion of all Vedic literatures, the Father of all living beings is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Srila Prabhupada, therefore, in books such as Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, has presented the Vedic literature with scrupulous integrity. And he has distributed his message intact through the Krishna conscious movement. Anyone born in India, the land of Vedic knowledge, is extremely fortunate. And we appeal to all such fortunate people to make their life perfect by joining the Krishna consciousness movement and spreading it everywhere for the eternal benefit of all living beings. This is the last point. Saving Hinduism. On your letter, I see the slogan, Garu Se Kaho Ham Hindu Hai. Proudly declare I'm Hindu. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna never tells Arjuna to declare himself Hindu. Rather, he directs Arjuna to give up all other forms of religion and simply surrender exclusively unto him. Mam ekam sharanam braja. The Lord then says, Kanteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. O Arjuna, declare to the world that my devotee will never be vanquished. Therefore, if we're going to follow the Bhagavad Gita, a better slogan will be, Garu Se Kaho Ham Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ke Das Hai. Proudly declare to everyone, I am the servant of Lord Krishna. If Hinduism is to be saved, the way to save it is to accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. We may have been taught that all gods are equal and we should therefore surrender to them all. But Lord Krishna says, give up all such notions, accept Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him alone. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam saranam braja. As long as we refuse to surrender to Krishna, we should be confident to this we should be confined to this material world, Gita 9:3. So, if confinement is not Hinduism, we should at once surrender to Krishna. Lord Krishna will then at once grant us liberation from all material confinement and take us back home, back to Godhead. In this way, by following the divine instructions given in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself, one obtains the perfection of Hinduism and the perfection of human life. Hare Krishna. Sincerely, Jayadvaita Swami. Srila Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There's another letter, but I'm going to skip it. I can, if you're interested, I can send you the link. But powerful, no? Any comment or question? Jai Nitai Prabhu.
Lord Shiva refers. In the translation of this verse, Lord Shiva refers to Vishnu or Krishna as the demigod of the demigods. It's an odd juxtaposition to the purport and the context of what's happening.
Prabhupada, in the purport, he phrases, Lord Vishnu is Deva, the chief of all the demigods. So he is the Deva, the god of the demigods. Deva, Jagatpati. So that's, you know, what it refers. Yeah. So it's just a name referring to that he is the god of the demigods.
There's another thing, reflection I had, that Prabhupada does frequently say that the attraction between man and woman is the main thing that's bonding us to this material world. Not long ago on a purport, I think it was related to the milk ocean, it was saying that the sexual organs actually are anointed by a drop of transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual world. So on the one hand, it's that attraction between man and woman that's bonding us to the material world. On the other hand, I've also heard it said in lectures that this attraction to sex enjoyment is kind of, in a sense, looking for that spiritual ecstasy that's missing in the material world. So I found that's an odd...
Actually, I remember, see if I find it. There is a... In the beginning of creation, when Lord Brahma was creating, you know, the whole thing, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that states that see if I find it. Oh yeah, here. This is in the sixth canto. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of all living and of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, then he created... Oh, no, this is not what I was saying. There's another thing. Basically, that in order to have population, then he created, you know, that sort of a sense of, you know, that what you're saying, the capacity of experiencing that sort of heightened enjoyment through the sexual organs, and that's what caused people going through the whole thing of, you know, getting into that entanglement, because that's the point. That if you see it, you know, like as it is, you see, well, why would I mean, I'm like, you know, having a great time right now, so everything is simple, I'm happy, I don't have complications in life. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone tells you, okay, for this, you know, short moments of this enjoyment, this is going to be the result. You're going to have all these complications, you know, building and building and building and multiplying, you know. So then one say, well, why should I want to do that? That doesn't sound like a great deal. You know, 20 minutes means, you know, like 25 years of, you know, ordeal, you know. But so if that enjoyment didn't exist, people won't do it. Why? Why would you do it? You know, if it's some like shaking hands, there's no, you know, heightened pleasure shaking one's hand. So if the result of shaking hands will be, you know, pregnancy and the whole thing, you know, who would want to do that? You know, so why should I do that? You know, forget about it. Hare Krishna. <You know? laughs> So that's it was, it had a purpose. Yeah. Any other thing? All right. We got a long class. Garantarashiman Bhagavatam ki jai.